After completing a term in elected leadership for the Dominican Sisters of Springfield, Sister Mila Diaz-Solano was free to engage in the scholarship and global dialogue that is her passion. In 2024, she made three trips. She was in Rome in May for a gathering of young women theologians and biblical scholars. In August, it was Caleruega, Spain, where she and Springfield Dominican sister Doris Tirel-Jimenez joined Dominican women from around the world. And finally, last November, she met up with other Spanish-language Dominican biblical scholars in Colombia for a conversation about synodality and interculturality. Her travels behind her, at least for a little while. Sister Mila now teaches scripture at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. It was there we caught up with her to discuss the fruits of her travels and hear the exciting vision for religious life that is unfolding around the world. So welcome, Sister Mila. So good to see you today.
Good morning, Beth, and thank you for the invitation to share what's happening in my corner of the universe.
Okay. Well, so where are you today exactly, Mila, and what's on your agenda after we talk this morning?
I am in Chicago. Currently, I'm teaching scriptures to a master degree program in CTU. And so as any professor, I have so many papers to correct and prepare classes, read some of the books that I need to prepare my class. So that's going to be my day. And also, because today I don't go to CTU, is my day for cooking. So I engage also in the community chores.
What's for dinner?
Arroz con pollo, which is a very Peruvian dish.
Well, I'm sorry I'm so far away. I won't be able to join you, but it sounds delicious. So tell me a little bit more about your travels last year. I'm anxious to know, what have been the fruits of each of those meetings that you participated in last year?
I will start with the Young Women Theologians of Religious Congregations. That gathering was in May in Nemi, Rome. And it was sponsored by the International Union of General Superiors, what we know as the UISG. They organized these gatherings since 2021. This was the second cohort of theologians around the world that were invited to participate in a dialogue prior to the encounter about different topics that we are working or different disciplines that we have or concerns about religious life. So the first gathering happened in 2022 after a year of meetings. And I happened to participate on those, but I was unable to go for that gathering. This second cohort started to meet in 2023. And we had a series of six meetings prior to the encounter to prepare some specific topic that we wanted to present during the gathering, and also get to know the different sisters who and disciplines that are about our age in different countries. So the gathering in itself was really wonderful, an opportunity of delving deep into synodality and the challenges that the synod is opening up for theologians today. So we started to work in a synodal way, meeting by disciplines and having conversations together. How can we continue to write or study or collaborate in some way? We also had gatherings by continent to see what are the challenges that we face in our continent or religious life faces in the continent. And we also had gatherings by topics, because even if we are biblical scholars, sometimes our concern is not the same. So we developed six concerns that were the main concerns of the women who were gathered there. And so my group was interculturality, and I had sisters from Africa, from Italy, and Europe, no, and also from North America, engaged in that conversation. And as I said, we had a paper to present, and my topic was about the effusion of the Spirit in the collaborative efforts of religious sisters in USA. It was based on Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And for me, it was an opportunity to synthesize my experience in leadership and all the different ways I have witnessed collaboration among Dominican sisters in USA or among other congregations, and some of the perspectives that I see as challenges.
Could you share some of those? I'd love to know what it was that that you saw as a challenge for women religious in the United States regarding interculturality.
One of the challenges that I have experienced myself is being a sister from a different country, joining a leadership in a majority of white congregation or U.S. congregation based, and how much of the culture of the country is plays a big role at the time we exercise leadership. How different we see authority, how different we see engagement with the congregation, different style of engaging our leadership. And so in my experience, I had gatherings with sisters from different countries who were part of leadership. And we shared that the struggle of not only assimilating into one way of doing things, but how can all the leadership team members can learn from each other different ways of exercising leadership. And the other part was about the formation. We put a lot of effort into interculturality during the formation time, but when women leave the formation, which is a very intercultural experience for many, they are found themselves in a majority of one culture experience, and the rest of the congregation has not had the same experience of interculturality. So that kind of break is a big challenge to be worked within each congregation, no? And so the text that I reflected upon was Joel, where Joel is prophesying that at the end of the times, there will be the young and the old and the men and the women, everybody will be prophets. And so everybody will be given the possibility to have a perspective of God, and how that is an invitation to see ourselves as women religious, giving everybody's perspectives, cultures, ways of doing things, the same authority as a prophet.
This is what I'm observing as I'm listening to you. So I want to make an ecological comparison, if I could, because I think that here in the middle of central Illinois, it might make sense to our listeners. In ecology, we're learning a lot about the problems that are associated with monoculture. So when farmers plant only one crop over a long period of time, it can eventually cause the collapse of the ecosystem that allows them to grow any food at all. And I think what I hear you saying is that the same could be, or implying at least, the same could be true for religious life, that we are much less rich when we live in a monocultural world, and that interculturality is God's vision. Am I reading you correctly, or what would you say about that?
Yes, how I see it is interculturality is an opportunity to see the spirit at work. No, because that is where we experience the richness of the spirit, how different perspectives, different ways of doing can really nurture, not only our congregation, but the mission and the way we are present, as religious women today.
That is really wonderful.
I wrote in Spanish because I was invited as a Spanish-speaking sister. Mm-hmm. And there is no plan for any publication, but we are still in conversation with some of the theologians that were gathered there. And so I will be happy to share when I consider there is finished, because after our presentation, we heard the input from other sisters and how they see it. So our papers had to be revisited or reviewed. That's the way of how synodality works when we are doing theology as well.
Sure. So you benefit from the insights of the people that heard you deliver the paper?
Yes.
And there will be changes. Well, we will keep our eyes out for that. We'll watch for that. Now, if you have more to say on this particular gathering, feel free to do so. Otherwise, we can move on to the next one.
Well, this gathering was not just one-time encounter. After that, we had at least two Zooms already to see where we are, how are we collaborating with each other, are we applying what we learned about synodality or synodal work? And so we will have a symposium and a virtual symposium in the fall with other theologians. We are still finding the topics that will be developed by each of us. And so we have a meeting actually on February 14. And as you can imagine, our meetings are sometimes very early in the morning because we have to be aware of the different time zones in the world. Mm-hmm. But that's amazing for me because everybody does an effort to be there, even if it's midnight or early morning or whatever time it is. And so we are continuing the conversation, and really the two cohorts have become one, and we are trying to reach one another in our efforts.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I'm sure that you'll keep us informed as your scholarship moves on together. What a wonderful opportunity for really the Church of the World to hear from all of you. Okay, so that was in May. And you were in Rome. And in August, you were in a place that is so dear to the hearts of all of us, Caleruega, where St. Dominic was born. You and Sister Doris were there. So what do you have to tell us about that?
Well, the gathering in Caleruega was sponsored and organized by the Dominican Sisters International Conference. Usually, the experiences of gatherings internationally among the order is directed by two leadership teams or sisters who are engaged in a particular ministry that involves the whole world. But this time, the DSIC, or the Dominican Sisters International Conference, they wanted to reach out the youngest generation of Dominicans to have conversations about our dreams about the future. Mm-hmm. And so they invited 10 sisters from each continent, and they considered the North American area one continent and Latin America another continent because of the language. And so there were 10 sisters from Latin America, 10 from North America, 10 from Asia, 10 from Africa, and 10 from Europe. And with all of the participants, we had days of reflections about our roots and our wings. Those were the two main topics. Roots, because Caleruega is where the order started as a dream for Dominic. And wings, because the big towers and the geography allowed Dominic to see beyond the town of Caleruega, what could be the dream worldwide. So we had this opportunity, women who were 50 years and under, or 25, or women with 25 years of vows and under. And we faced the challenges of language, but we had conversations by continent, conversations by language, because even if we are in different continents, there are same languages that can unite us. And beyond the conversations about our dreams, we also shared liturgies together and celebrations of culture. And out of this gathering, we developed a manifesto that is going to be shared with all the prioress of Dominican Sisters in May this year. They usually have a gathering in Rome every 2 years. And so 5 women from each continent were selected to develop this manifesto that was the desires and dreams, captured everything that everybody, every participant had in their hearts at the end of the meeting. And so I have been chosen as one from the North American continent to be part of this delegation. And after that gathering in Caleruega, we had a series of meetings to develop this manifesto, to prepare some of the topics, to remember what was the spirit there telling us, and how we all express the same challenges or desires. And so that's what we are preparing as well. So I have a next trip coming in May.
So you're going to Rome again in May, and we have to wait until then to hear your manifesto. So
yes.
How exciting, the big reveal.
Well, I am not allowed to say more of it, but what I can share is that the desire to continue being connected as Dominican Sisters worldwide, it was shared by everybody. Mm-hmm. And so the desire to do ministry together, the desire of studying together, either virtually or in person, the desire to be one was there. So how that is specified, and it's going to be after the conversation with the prioresses of congregations.
In May. So how wonderful. That gives us something beautiful to look forward to. And we shall do that. Okay. Then in November, you were off to Colombia. Was it Bogota? Is that
yes.
Where you were? Mm-hmm. Okay. What was happening there?
Well, when I was studying at the Ecole Biblique, I had the opportunity to meet other biblical scholars from Latin America who were also in the process of getting their doctoral degree in Spain, in France, or in Israel. And we were all from Latin America, and sent by our congregations, Dominican friars or sisters. And so what we saw is that the Ecole Biblique organized a gathering, an annual gathering for all biblical scholars of the order who spoke French. And so we said, how wonderful would be if we can also organize a gathering for Spanish-speaking biblical scholars within the order to see where are we in our efforts to not only to teach scriptures, but to make the scripture, open the scriptures for lay people, for the order, for the world. And so that led to form a small group, a nucleus. There were two sisters, Mariana Sossi, a sister of Argentina, a Dominican sister of Argentina, and myself from Peru, a Dominican friar, Edgar from Paraguay, and Fabian from Colombia. The four of us reached out to CIDALC, which is the Organization of the Dominican Friars in Latin America, and CODALC, the Dominican Sisters of Latin America Conference. And we asked them if they could help us to have a gathering, not only for the four of us, you know, for everybody who have studied Bible at any point of their life. So we had a gathering of 12 by this time. And the topic of our conversation was the synod and the challenges of the synod in our own cultures. And so it also touched the world interculturality because we have different cultures in Latin America.
Mila, I think just for our listeners to remind them of what the synod is before you go further, because I think I don't want to assume they know too much.
The Synod on Synodality was a process that was convoked by Pope Francis and started in 2021. And it had a series of conversations among the parishes, and then among dioceses and continental dialogues about what our visions are about the church, what our call is to be as Catholics today. And so out of these conversations, these local conversations, there were two main global conversations in Rome. And the last one was in October of 2024. So having the final document out of all this process and the challenges that were open, it was also our inspiration to work on the texts that oriented or the texts that inspired all this process. And one of those texts was the Book of Acts of the Apostles, to see the first Christian communities and how they faced these conversations of opening up themselves to the moment, to the culture. And so we studied as Dominican sisters and friars from the Latin American continent, the Book of Acts. And so that was really
the earliest synod, really. We see evidence of that in Acts, right?
Yes. But it was very interesting because we had to also confront the Book of Acts with the letter of Paul in Galatians that gives a different account of how this event happened. And so it was a moment of a Kairos moment for us because many of us are involved in teaching, and sometimes we don't have time to really engage in deep conversations, exegetical perspectives, ecclesiological perspectives out of the scriptures, etc. And we had three wonderful days of just doing that. and how that also gave us some of keys or some insights for our ministry, for our life, for our research. That was amazing, as I think, for us. And so we elected a new group, a nucleus that will call everybody to continue other topics, other conversations on the scriptures for the Latin American and North American Spanish speaking biblical scholars. Mm. So I think the group is going to expand to all those who speak the same language in the continent of the North and in the South.
I can only imagine how much fruit that conversation will bear, given our socio-cultural and political context right now.
Yes.
Quite powerful. So do you have plans for those meetings yet, or is that still in the works?
Yes, we will have a virtual gathering in May, a first conversation. And then we decided to open up a symposium or a kind of conversation among Dominican brothers and sisters about the scriptures for the first week of Advent in this year. So we will be planning that conversation or that study, not only for biblical scholars, but to be open for everybody who wants to join and follow the steps of Anton de Montesinos and the community that had a special word on the first week of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. Mm. So that's what we want to do as well.
So is this for Spanish speakers primarily, or will others be able to participate too?
It's going to be in Spanish, but it's going to be open to everybody who wants to participate.
How wonderful. Oh, Mila, that is very exciting. Could you say a few words about why is this important for the church? All three of these gatherings show such promise and hope, and it shows that the Spirit is alive in the church and still doing work, still doing God's work among us. So what is your takeaway about why this kind of scholarship and encounter is important for us today?
One of the motivations, or one of the big insights that I gain from these gatherings, is that the call of God today is not to do things by ourselves, sino to see ourselves as in collaboration with each other. The synodal way, it doesn't have to be in big meetings, but it has to happen in small efforts. And so in the past, we had wonderful theologians. We have in the present as well wonderful theologians, scripture scholars who develop their books and write and do research individually. But where the Spirit is calling us is to work together, that we need each other to enrich our perspective, to enrich the perspective of the world, and to have a word not only individually, but as a collective. And how important it is to see ourselves connected to each other. I think that's the call that I feel to continue being the one more in the big effort that is happening worldwide among religious sisters, among members of the order, among the church, to see ourselves not only working with other religious, but also working with priests and working with bishops, working with the laity. And as I said, that we consecrated women are also laity, but those who are married, those who are closer to congregations, have a lot to enrich to our perspectives of theology, etc. And so these three encounters really gave me a sense that that's the call of God today, to work with others, to work synodally, not individually.
I can almost feel the wind of the Spirit blowing through my little studio as I listen to what you have to say. The image that came to my mind was that ivory tower of scholarship under the influence of this concept of walking together synodally as the church. That ivory tower is about ready to come down. And the scholarship is going to move out into the streets, into the homes, into the places where people gather and worship and believe. And I can't think of anything more exciting than that. How do you see, if we could turn for a minute to our own congregation, how do you see we Dominican Sisters of Springfield living into that new model? What's your dream in that regard?
In our last chapter, we have come with a direction about interculturality and also about collaboration, intercongregational collaboration. So I see small efforts that we do individually as a member of this congregation, like I'm doing. There are not many scripture scholars that are doing the same thing, and they're not all of the members in the congregation have to be scripture scholars to be part of this. But if we can gather the richness with other congregations within the areas we are involved in, ecology or justice and peace efforts, in arts, preaching through parish ministry, if we can expand our vision and our insights beyond only our congregation, I think that's the call of our chapter, to work with others, to share with others what are our concerns, what our dreams are, and what is the church calling us today. And as a congregation, I see our leadership involved and many of our sisters also in looking at the possibilities of how can we collaborate better with other Dominican sisters and how can we be more in collaboration, intentional collaboration with congregations who are in our areas and or our regions, and how can we share our facilities, how can we share our resources with each other. And so I think those are the ways in which we are also living out, you know, the direction, the chapter direction.
I know that in the synod, the phrase conversations in the spirit was used as a way of talking about the contemplative approach that all of those who were gathered in the Synod Hall in Rome last October and the previous October would use in order to try to discern where the Spirit was moving. And I think in this line, if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but I believe this line in the Acts of the Apostles goes something like this: it seemed good to us and to the Spirit too. That line always gives me such joy because it shows that the early church was attentive to the movement of God in the world. And what I hear you saying is that that's what these three gatherings were like for you, moments to learn what seemed good for the gathered community and for the Spirit who's guiding the church. And for that, we should have much hope and joy, I think.
Yes, and I think to reach to that point, it was not an easy process as it shows in the book of Acts, no? Mm-hmm. And any of the participants of the Synod on Synodality gathering, global gathering in Rome will say the conversations were not very easy. The consensus at the tables were not reached with that easy process because our diversity, it really plays a big part in the conversations. Mm-hmm. And so it's a process that takes time, that takes an intentional effort, and it calls for not only the human effort, but the not to call for the spirit's help.
Thank you. I think that's a beautiful place to end. So thank you very much to Sister Mila Diaz-Solano for the time that she spent with us on Flowcast this afternoon. You can listen to this podcast and all of our Flowcast episodes wherever you get your own podcasts, or you can visit us at flowcastlisten.org, where we will post this interview with Sister Mila later this month, and where also you'll be able to see the show notes and get access to some of the resources that Sister Mila and I talked about this afternoon. So on behalf of all of us at Flowcast, I wish all of you a very blessed day, and stay tuned for next month's episode. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.